That last song that we did, The Old Account Was Settled, how many of you, that was your first time singing that song? What did you guys think of that song? You guys like it? Yeah, it was all right. You could have read it? Oh, gotcha. That's a good one to have stuck in your heart throughout the week. All right, Matthew chapter 9. We'll go ahead and pray. Father, we thank you for being good to us today. We are grateful and thankful for our salvation, our position in Christ. And Lord, today, I would like the Holy Spirit to maybe take some intellectual things and actually make them applicable to our lives. And I think sometimes we understand a truth, or maybe the thought of a truth, rather, and not necessarily what it means to me personally. Well, I pray that we would take, or that you, rather, would take the Holy Spirit and speak to your children, your people, edify your church. And the end result, Lord, I want us to be conformed to your image. Where everyone's at in their walk right now, I pray that this truth, and whatever application, that it would speak to hearts or where it would change them. Not just an intellectual thought, but actually change our lives to be more like you. We ask these in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I'm going to be talking today about compassion. And I'm going to get the thought out right now, then we're going to systematically unfold areas where Christ displayed compassion and what came of it, why it happened. The word compassion means to have bowels yearn, to feel sympathy and pity on. Now, it's interesting. I believe that this room is fairly mature overall, I would say. And I would assume that this group is ministering during the week. And I'm not going, don't look in too deep on this, all right? But maybe some of us have for several years have ministered throughout the week. And there are times where we can get battle-hardened. And what I mean by battle-hardened is we lose the softness in our heart because as we are out ministering, as we're out in the world, as we're out fighting, doing the things that God does desire us to do, we can sometimes get a little bit callous and hardened to the needs of people. Ministry, every ministry involves people. Every ministry. You can't have a ministry where people are not involved. It's not a ministry then. People are involved in ministering. And the more I put myself out in society or with my family, with my friends, with the body, the more opportunities that's going to come my way to get hurt, to hear the same old excuse, to hear the same old this, to hear the same old that, to be out and get frustrated and upset. You guys see what I'm saying? And it's week in and week out. Now, if we're not careful, we can lose the compassion for people, the exact people Christ wants us to minister to. We may overlook them or sidetrack them because we're just tired. So Matthew chapter 9, we'll look here at verse 35. And again, I'm just going to kind of go through. I'm not going to do again, it's more of a topical sermon, not so much a contextual one that I usually do. Nonetheless, I think it's a great truth for all of us today. Matthew 9:35. Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the crowds, he was moved with compassion for them. Why? Because they fainted and were scattered like sheep without a shepherd. And he said to his disciples, "The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray to the Lord that the harvest, Lord of the harvest, that he would send out laborers and do his harvest." So here is Christ. He's in his earthly ministry. He's already healed people and healed people up to this point. He's healed crowds and crowds and crowds. He's already putting out, right? Now, he already knows, many of them, why they're coming to him, correct? He already knows many of their motives on why they're coming to Jesus and the reason they're coming to him. Nonetheless, he still heals all those that come to him in certain places. I believe it's in Matthew 7 or Matthew 8, there are a whole crowd come that says he healed all sickness and all diseases. Now, I'm not sure how many of those people from there on out followed Christ or went away. But even knowing their motives, he still had compassion on them and still did what God had called him to do, why God sent him to the earth. It didn't change that. It didn't change his service. In this text here, what we see is Christ going to all his cities and villages, and what is he doing? He's teaching and he's preaching. Again, the kingdom here is a millennial kingdom. It's not death, burial, and resurrection. It's the coming kingdom where Christ will rule and reign for 1,000 years. And he's doing all this work, and he sees the crowd, and it moves him to have his bowels yearn and feel sympathy and pity on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. Now, John says, the Gospel of John, Jesus says, I am the what? True shepherd. I am the true shepherd. Now, we know God's attribute, one that he has, is compassion. Psalms tells us over and over again that God is a God of compassion. That's what he is. And we're privileged to see in Scripture, Jesus, who we believe is 100% God, while he's 100% man, physically displaying what that compassion of God looks like. This compassion that he sees on these people in this text here, it shows that it prompts a prayer request, right? It prompts more action. Compassion moves Jesus to say, listen, there are many people that you minister to, but the laborers are few. It now is going to prompt you to pray for more laborers. Do you guys see that there? Here he is, he's doing all this work. He's healing all these people. He's preaching and teaching. He sees the crowd. He's moved with compassion. He has pity and sympathy for them. And he says, listen, the harvest is plentiful. The laborers are few. Don't look at, oh, we can't minister all these people because we're outnumbered. There's just too many of them for us to help right now. Jesus is giving them what they cannot in themselves give back. He's healing them, right? He's teaching them. Now, it's kind of unfair because they can't teach God because God's all-knowing. But nonetheless, he's giving out what he has, knowing their motives. Now, I'll get to discernment here in a little bit, okay? But it prompts a prayer request. The harvest is plentiful, laborers are few, therefore you pray that God sends more. I believe we're in an area where God has sent many, but many are not being obedient to God's calling. That's just my opinion. Let's go over to Matthew 14. Matthew 14, and we'll look down at verse number 13. Matthew 14, 13, when Jesus heard this, he departed from there by boat for a deserted place. But when the people heard it, they followed him on foot from the cities. Jesus went ashore and saw a great assembly, and he was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. When it was evening, his disciples came to him, saying, this is a lonely place, and the day is now over. Send the crowds away to go into the villages and buy themselves food. But Jesus said to them, they do not need to depart. You give them something to eat. They said to him, "We have only 5 loaves here and 2 fish." And he said, "Bring them here to me." So we know that he commands people to sit down, and they feed them all, right? Here's another spot where Christ sees the crowds and has compassion on them. He doesn't look at what we don't have. He tells the disciples, "What do we have?" God can use the little that you have to fulfill what he wants you to do. Now, you might be in a position to where you can't feed 5,000 people. But I think many times, at least in the 21st century, we look for ways out of displaying compassion. We look for ways out of how it's going to be a waste of time. And we're kind of overlooking, why are you even here? Because if you're just saved, and that's it, that's the ultimate goal, then you'd be in heaven right now. Philippians says that there's times for us to suffer. There's times for us to go through hard times. There's times of tribulation. Romans 5, we know that we're going to go through tribulation, knowing that it works patience and all these other attributes come out of us. We know these things. Don't get caught up with anger from society allowing you to be angry to where it hinders your compassion on someone you need to display compassion on. Just because all we see right now is arguing and fighting and division does not mean that we allow it to affect us. I'm working on saying amen too much in my sermon. I would have said it right there. Thank you. There we go. I listen to a couple of sermons and I go, I might say a little too much, even for my liking. I'm going to die down on that. The people followed. They had nothing to eat. He fed them. Again, he's not looking at what we don't have or putting off his responsibility. He says, no, what do we have? I think one of the lessons here is underlying is Jesus wants his disciples to see that when I'm going to allow the ministry that you're going to have in the future grow, relying on me to take care of them through you. Because it can get overwhelming, can't it, to look at people in distress, right? It can get overwhelming to look at our society, my family, my friends, just my inner circle on the stress that's on them and go, whoa. Hey, this is a lot. I'm overwhelmed. It's a constant reminder that we are in a war. That's why we have armor of God in Ephesians 6. And we are in a war for people's souls, for people's lives, born again believers and non-believers. As soon as you get saved, you are now the enemy. You're no longer at enmity with Christ. You are the enemy. So of course you're going to get bombarded with stress and work and all these things. So Satan's going to try and get your mind discombobulated to not have compassion, to not think about the Lord, to not have ministry, because it is work. While I'm focused on my 8-to-5 job or whatever I have, and I go home, and I want to relieve myself from my 8-to-5 job, I can hinder myself and grieve the Spirit to not actively be seeking or actively let compassion come out of me towards someone else. You ever notice how people are real short when they get off of work and they're at home? Don't mess with my time, as if you own it. Right? I worked hard all day. Good for you. That's the bare minimum. That's a responsibility. Now give God the rest. At least be open to his leading. At least be open to what God has for you. You give your employer 8-to-5 and then complain, or if he did, you're still getting paid. You're going to get riches beyond your wildest dreams working for the Lord. That's not even a motive to do it. He doesn't even have to do that, and he still is going to. Blows my mind. We'll go to one more here in Matthew 15. Actually, I'm glad we got two more. You guys doing good so far? Again, on compassion, we're seeing Christ display compassion here in the Gospel of Matthew. Here in Matthew 15, 32, Matthew 15, 32, again, another spot where we have a feeding of a large group. This is, I believe it says 4,000 here. Then Jesus called his disciples to him and said, I have compassion on the crowd. Why, God? Because they have remained with me now for 3 days and have nothing to eat. I will not send them away hungry, lest they faint on the way. See that? These people, whatever their motive was, dedicated their lives for 3 days to be with Jesus without food. That's dedication, right? No matter what their motive is, that's dedication. And he goes, I have compassion on them. We're going to feed them before we send them away. I will not send them away hungry. The disciples again go, well, we don't have a whole lot. Don't look at what you don't have. You have me. You have me. It's all you need. I can take the little you have when you have compassion and influence the crowd. So again, he feeds the 4,000 here. We'll go over to Matthew 20. This is the last one here in Matthew. Matthew 20, let's look down at verse number 29. Those previous three stories, we don't see a whole lot of people following Christ after that. Right? There really isn't much about what does this crowd do afterwards. Here, on the other hand, we see a difference. Matthew 20, look down at verse number 29. As they departed from Jericho, a large crowd followed him. There, two blind men sitting by the road, when they heard that Jesus was passing by, cried out, have mercy on us, O Lord, Son of David. The crowd rebuked them that they should be silent. But they cried out even more, have mercy on us, O Lord, Son of David. Jesus stood still and called them, saying, what do you want me to do for you? They said to him, Lord, let our eyes be opened. So Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight, and they followed him. It's interesting the name they call Jesus. Have mercy on us, O who? That's Jehovah Lord. O Lord, Son of David, believing the prophets, right? Jesus always said in the Gospels, if you believe the prophets, you'd believe me. These two blind men believed the story of the prophets, called him by his name, God, Son of David, I believe the prophets. I know who you are. I wonder how refreshing that was to hear. I don't know if that swayed Christ's emotions, but man, you know, I know that the Lord does enjoy hearing who he is. David was a great example on what true worship looks like, where I'm falling down on my face before God, letting him know who he is, just giving him back his attributes, his name, his greatness. And here are two blind men who are told to be quiet, cry out even louder, you are God, and we believe the prophets, your son of David. And he says, what do you guys want? What do you guys want? To see? You got it. And these two blind men called them God, believed the prophets, they followed him. Now, there might be times in our lives as we display compassion, that you get nothing in return. It might even backfire on you. And you might not even see the two who follow Christ because you have compassion on them. You might not even see them. Christ was focused on, I must be about my Father's business. Right? I do the will of the Father. He wasn't focused on what happened this way. He was so connected between him and God that him displaying compassion, no matter what motives, no matter what it was perfect. It was pure. We see crowds walk away, and we see two blind men follow and they receive sight. Amazing, right? There are other stories in Mark where Christ has compassion. I'm not going to go over them for sake of time. So how do we still have compassion on others while we see so much hate? How do we do that? You know what? I'll ask that. You know, it's actually kind of a question in my sermon here, like rhetorical, but let's get some feedback. How can we? How can we still have compassion? We're a smaller group today, which is great. Nothing wrong with that. Allows us to be more interactive here. How can you still have compassion throughout your week with what's going on right now? Not even just to say society. Think about your family. Think about your friends. Think about your inner group circle. Think about your burdens. Think about your desires. How can you not allow your heart to get hardened? What can you do? Ask God for help. Starts there, right? Talk to the Lord, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Right, exactly. I must be about my Father's business. You're exactly right. Right. Exactly. When you're born again, you receive a new nature. That nature you receive has the attribute of compassion already in it. That's who God is. So you need to yield to God's compassion and have it flow through you. Don't quench the Spirit. Don't grieve the Spirit. Let it come out. Let it come out. It's going to fight the flesh, right? It's going to fight your pride. Don't do that to them because... Well, you need to. We need to. If there's ever a time in our day and age that we need, as believers, need to show compassion, it's now. Speaking the truth in love. The number one thing people need is truth, correct? They need truth. Don't hold the truth from them. You're only damaging them. Give them the truth because you have compassion on them. The number one thing that they need is truth of the gospel if they're not saved. A believer needs to be reminded, your hope is in the Lord. Your hope is in Christ, not society, not your career, not your investments, not your retirement. Your hope is in the resurrection. Get your mind back in Colossians 3. Set my affection on things above, not on things of the earth, where Christ sits at the right hand of God. Get back to spiritual thinking. Have compassion on believers that don't think spiritually. You ever get kind of bummed out and burdened? As you're talking to someone, it hits you, as you're talking to them, oh, this guy is not mature. I thought he was. Oh, this lady's not mature. I thought she was. You guys ever been there? Right? You're talking to them and going, ooh. I overlooked that for a second. Because how they're talking, they're full of the world. Sometimes I'll confess something that I do in my discernment. Not so much anymore. That can still trip me up. Is I look at someone's age and how long they've gone to church. And I don't know why sometimes I overlook. They're not mature. They don't know Scripture at all. Their walk with the Lord is barely even there. They're disciplined at going to church. But as I'm talking to them, there is nothing of any value coming out. It's thin. You get burned, right? I have compassion on them. Okay, gotcha. I have sympathy for them. I have pity on them. Okay, I understand now. Instead of getting mad like, hey, you should know better. I go, hey, they don't. It is what it is. I'm going to love them where they're at. And I'm going to speak the truth in love and help them through my gift of encouragement to bring them to the Lord. I think Jude is a great one. We'll go to Jude and we'll close with this. Jude, we'll start in verse 17. I think there's a great solution here to have compassion, not be battle-hardened here. Jude 17, but beloved, remember the words that were previously spoken by the apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ. They said to you, in the last days there will be scoffers who will walk after their own ungodly desires. Now, here in the context, Jude's talking about 1 Timothy 4, 1 through 6, 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 10, and 2 Peter 2. Those references there talk about in the last days. In the last days. Paul was expecting the last days in his lifetime. He believed in the preeminent return of Christ. He believed that Christ could come at any moment. Again, he taught that. That's why those at Thessalonica were looking up going, the rapture's going to come today. He's going, no, it'll come. I believe in our lifetime. Paul and the early church saw the false teachers. What they warned about, what Paul warned Timothy about, was already happening. Isn't that amazing? Isn't it a miracle that we're even here today? The first century church, after 20 years, started going downhill. After the Gentiles got it, when Paul went to the Gentiles. It's crazy, right? Revelation talks about, hey guys, Ephesus started out good, but... So, back to Jude here. Verse 19, these are men who cause divisions, sensual, devoid of the Spirit. These false teachers, these false apostles. But you, here it is, here's how you stay focused. Beloved, build yourselves up in your most holy faith. Number one, to keep displaying compassion, you and I have to build ourselves up on our most holy faith. Continue to grow in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Peter. What got you here will not take you to the future. What you relied on in the past to get you to where your walk is now will not take you going moving forward. That's just the foundation to go moving forward. We should see more spiritual branching out. Correct? I'm not saying work more for God. I'm saying less and less on I'm struggling. A mature believer doesn't struggle. There are times where a sin might happen, but they don't struggle with something. That's milk. That's a babe. We got to grow past that, right? Hebrews says, you guys got to move on from the foundation of your salvation. You have got to move on from death and resurrection. You got to go forward. You guys got to grow. No more milk. You got to get some meat in you. Those that use milk are unskillful. Why? Because we're in a war. Meat is what helps. Man, I remember when we were overseas, I remember being brand new. Green, a noob. And then I got placed in with those that were battle-hardened. They just look different. Their lives throughout the day are different. How they hold themselves, how they prepare themselves, how they get prepared for battle is different than someone who's new. Right? They know what to do. They know what to expect. They know how to prepare. They're not shaken. And they go. And when a battle happens, they don't panic. They don't falter. They're not swayed. They know how to fight back. They know how to counterattack. They know how to continue the mission. They understand their purpose. My purpose for us was to get fuel from point A to point B. We drove 8,000-gallon fuel tankers. We escorted them. A mature believer understands my purpose, and I'm in a war. Even though I'm going through a war, I know how to counterattack. I'm not swayed by every wind of doctrine. At the same time, I still have compassion. We should still see that growing through us, correct? My heart is burdened. I get sympathy. I have pity on people like that. Sorry, let me spit on you. I'll go over here. We'll be more balanced here. I spent on Bob Saturday, so I can't do that either. As we grow and as we minister, as you become a well-trained soldier, don't forget the compassion. Don't forget that. I believe in many cases, and this is wrong. I'm not saying this is right. Okay, this is wrong on their part, but I see why they think that, is that Christians can kind of be mean, can't they? Believers in Christ can kind of be hard-hardened, right? They can kind of be too firm, and you know, there's no love, there's no compassion there. You guys have seen it. You guys have seen people who are saved, and yeah, they're just like, they're cold as ice, right? They're cold as ice. The compassion there. They've been through a lot. They've ministered for years. They've gotten hard. They've gotten weary. Don't lose the compassion, though. All right, almost done. First one is build yourselves up in the most holy faith. Number two is pray in the Holy Spirit. It is reliant on me growing and me praying. Pray in the Holy Spirit, relying on God. I think Christ did an excellent job, if I do say so myself, on showing the people, on showing his disciples, it might look impossible, but I want to show you how relying on God can move and work out the impossible, correct? Our society looks impossible. I don't want to give up on it, though. Now, as far as, and I'm not talking about the government, as far as I am still going to give the gospel. I'm still going to give the gospel. Even if I see the human race maybe turning from God or turning from spiritual truth, I, in my compassion, in my responsibility to give the gospel, am going to say, hey, I'm still not going to give up. I'm still going to give it. No matter how many times I get rejected, get made fun of, get a door slammed in my face, or have someone yell at me, I'm not giving up. Why? I'm still here. Number one truth people need to have compassion flow through is your need for a Savior. And to a believer, your need to rely on that Savior. All right, moving on down. Pray in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves, number three, keep yourselves in the love of God while you are waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ, which leads to eternal life. Right there. I'm going to keep myself in the love of the Lord. I say it all the time. I think the book of Ephesians is the book to go to see how the church operates. Ephesians 4 and 5. Walk in love. You're children of love. God, 1 John, God is love. I'm going to stay there, right? When I'm in that love of God, I can see how the truth of God can come out of me in love. I'm not weak. I'm strong. I have boldness to speak the truth, right? Not fear to hold it back. I'm open to the compassion of God flowing through me to an individual today. Because when I am in God's love, I am focused on what the things that God loves. God loves seeing people saved. God loves seeing a believer in Christ repent of their sin and turn to God. He loves that. He loves to hear the praise of thanks. He loves to hear people fellowshipping, talking about him. He loves to hear who he is, right? I'm going to stay right there. All right, verse 22, and on some have compassion using discernment, and others save with fear while pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment stained by the flesh. So here in the context of Jude anyway, it's saying this. There are false teachers. On some have compassion making a difference. It's yes. There are people in Jude who are genuinely confused about what to do. They're confused. The ones that are confused, you have compassion on. Have discernment. There are people that don't care. There are people that care. Then there's that group that they're confused on what to do. Have compassion on the confused group. You hear what I just said? It's the confused group sometimes that we give the least amount of time to. They're frustrated. You should know better. Why don't you know that? You should know by now. No, the confused group, in the context of Jude, have compassion on the confused group. They're saved. Why are they following this false teaching? Why are they on that side? They're confused. That's the group, according to Jude, you have compassion on. Amazing, isn't it? Have discernment. Have wisdom. Everyone's asking for help. I'm not saying help everyone asking for help, because there are people that manipulate, correct? Be on guard for manipulation. But don't start there right away. Be open to it. Rely on God to see you through. What should I do, Lord? Should I help? Should I not help? Sometimes we trust our own intellect, rather than relying on the Holy Spirit to say, hey, yeah, you might get put out. It might ruin your plans, but you're fulfilling my purpose. So back off. No. Yield to me. Yield to me. Have your inner bowels yearn. Have sympathy and pity on people. As you're ministering, be careful to get battle hardened to where that compassion goes away. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for being good to us today. Lord, I believe overall this is a mature group. Dare I say, maybe even a group that may be open, not right now maybe, but could be open to becoming battle-hardened. I believe this group here, Lord, does minister. They do go out. They are open. But Lord, the more and more we open up ourselves to being used by you, I also believe the more and more open we are to spiritual warfare, and they get battle hardened. Lord, allow us to take these examples in Scripture that you have shown us and to still maintain a heart of compassion, Lord, because your word tells us in the book of Psalms that you are a God of compassion. We see it in Christ. Christ is God showing that he has compassion. Christ is now in us, Lord. Ephesians says the church is, I believe it's Ephesians or Timothy says that the church is the pillar and ground of truth. And Lord, one of those truths, let it be compassion. Lord, I pray that as we walk out of here today, we will be changed into your image. Becoming more like you. Thank you, Father, for your direction and your guidance. We ask these in Jesus' name. Amen.